Appreciate that. Beautiful, beautiful song, and how true and how amazing it is that God would spend the day with us. What a blessing that is. And thank you, Nicole, for that offertory. That was beautiful. Appreciate that. All the music, just a blessing. We're in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Turn there if you would, please. Acts 27 and verse 9. Acts 27, beginning at verse 9. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Father, I pray that you bless the preaching. And again, thank you so much, Lord, for the good music and the good spirit, all the songs, the trio, the choir, the offertory, the special music that Kendall just sang for us and played, and of course the congregational singing, all of it, Lord, is such a blessing. And I pray that you'll now help us to pay close attention to the Word of God, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go back to Acts 25 real quick in verse 12, and we see why Paul is on this ship. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And Paul, as a prisoner, he makes his appeal. Again, Paul has done nothing wrong. All he's done is served God. He's preached the Word of God. And the Jews hated that, and they were against that. And so Paul is in custody, and he appeals to Caesar. And Caesar, of course, is in Rome, in Italy. And so, therefore, the order has been given. Paul is to go to Rome and to face and to give his appeal to Caesar. And so Paul, on this trip, they've left in chapter 27, verse 1, when it was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And so as Cornelius was a member of a certain group, Julius is the centurion of Augustus' band. And so he, as a centurion, he is in control of 100 men. And so he's in charge. And they get on this ship to take Paul and other prisoners, it says, who perhaps others had appealed to Caesar, or maybe they just had to serve their sentence there. But at any rate, they are on a ship now, and the Bible says, they're getting on a ship, entering into a ship of Adramidium. We launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And so we have Aristarchus here. We have possibly Timothy was with them. Paul talks about leaving him at Miletus sick. We have Luke, obviously, is there, the author of the book of Acts, and because he's making reference to being with us, and of course, the Apostle Paul. The next day, we touched at Sidon, and Julius, this again is the centurion, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And so they've stopped now, and they've gone, and he's actually given Paul liberty to go and do some things, maybe visit some folks here, and maybe go to the local McDonald's. And no, probably not. But anyway, he's given Paul a lot of room. The Bible says he courteously entreated him. So he's being a blessing to Paul. He obviously sees something in Paul and is trying to help him out and be a blessing. Verse 4, when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And the winds being contrary, again, possibly and probably they were sailing against the wind. And therefore they sailed under Cyprus. They went a different direction. And the winds being contrary caused them to have to not only go a different direction, but they lost some time. And the Bible says, when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lycia. And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And so now they've changed ships. They were in a ship, and apparently its cargo went as far as it needed to go, and therefore they changed ships. They found another ship, and being the centurion and over 100 soldiers, pretty much he just takes control of the ship. And it doesn't matter who the captain is, doesn't matter what they're carrying, what sort of merchandise they may have or what they're selling or anything. The centurion puts him on this ship, and now they're on a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. And verse 7, it says, when we had sailed slowly many days, and there we go again. First, the winds are contrary. Now we're sailing slowly. Again, we have the idea here, maybe the wind, they're having to go against the wind, or the currents are bad or something. Scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, not permitting us. So we have a wind problem again. We sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And that's where we get into our text and we get into our passage that we want to look at today. And so they have been slowed down on their journey to Italy. The first ship was slowed down because the winds were contrary. The second ship was slowed down because the Bible said the wind would not permit them. And now the time, the Bible says, much time was spent. Sailing is now dangerous. The fast was already past, talking about the Passover feast. And so we're now into the fall season, maybe around October 1st or somewhere around there. And now it is not a good time to continue the trip. And here's what Paul says in verse 10. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, This Voyage Will Be With Hurt. This voyage will be with hurt. And I again call your attention to this centurion who has to make the decision. Julius, the centurion, he's not a dummy. He's a leader. He's a great leader. He's entrusted with 100 men. He is obviously a very intelligent man. He's a guy that likes Paul. We've already seen that. And now Paul has told him, okay, listen to me. This voyage will be with hurt. Something is going to break. Something is going to get hurt. There is going to be some damage. There's going to be some problems. Not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. He said, you are taking a very, very dangerous risk. And so Paul gives his advice. Paul's a prisoner. He's on his way to Rome to appeal to Caesar. He's in custody. And so Julius has a tough decision. I want to show you several things about this that apply so much. We go into the fall of the year and we have young people. We have people making, really all the time, we have people making lots and lots of decisions. And I want to just show you some things about this voyage that I think will help you understand why Paul would say this voyage will be with hurt. I'll be honest with you, it might be why a teenager, your parents have told you, you know, the voyage you're about to take, you're going to get hurt. It might be why your Sunday school teacher maybe even taught today in class, hey, if you do this thing, you're going to get hurt. It may be why a message you heard at Shawnee, somebody got up and they said, hey, if you make that decision, if you do that thing, you're going to get hurt. You know, so many things that we do can hurt us. So many things that we do can bring forth much damage, the Bible talks about. not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And here we see, number one, the warning described. And the warning is very, very clear from the Apostle Paul. And what will Julius, this centurion, do? He had to decide. The Bible says in verse 4, the winds were contrary. And the winds had slowed him down. In verse 7, the Bible talks about the wind not suffering us, not permitting us. And the winds, again, were contrary, and they slowed him down. And you know, sometimes winds being contrary cause us to make rash decisions. Winds being contrary, winds being not the way we expected, things going not the way we thought, often that will slow us down and cause us to make some sort of a rash decision. Julius is, it's up to him now. Verse 9, very clearly, much time was spent, sailing was dangerous. Paul said, hey, wait a minute, this voyage will be with hurt. If you do this thing, you're going to get hurt. Hey, hey, if you make this decision, Julius, we all stand to get hurt. The ship stands to be destroyed. I mean, there's going to be some damage if you do this thing. By the way, Julius was the one that had to make the decision, but the decision was going to affect everybody on board. It was going to affect Luke. It was going to affect Aristarchus. It was going to affect the centurion himself. It was going to affect Paul. It was going to affect everybody. Hey, listen, as we contemplate decisions in our lives, as we, I think of our young people going off to college, and all of a sudden mom and dad are not there, you are going to make decisions on the run. As you contemplate those decisions, let me give you a warning. Be careful, because I'm telling you, the voyage can be with a lot of hurt. Just a quick decision, just a flippant decision, just one of those things that you're confronted in. Okay, I've got to decide. That's why God tells us to be grounded so that we can make those right decisions. But here, again, boy, they've run out of time. The centurion wants to keep his schedule. He wants to get going. I got to get moving. We got to get these prisoners to Rome. And so therefore, Paul warns him. He knows what he's thinking. He knows what he's wanting to do. And you know, as with many, many decisions, in fact, all decisions, there's a right way and a wrong way. And Julius, what are you going to do? And you and I make decisions. I make decisions every day. I counsel people pretty much every day in decisions. And there's a right way and a wrong way. Certainly salvation is a decision that we've all been confronted with. Most in this room have made the decision, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. Yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to have eternal life. And most of us have made that decision, but perhaps you're here tonight. You've not made that decision for Christ. Let me say to you tonight, your voyage will be with much hurt. Not only will you have much hurt in life, but you'll have much hurt when you die without Jesus Christ. I mean, right now, we have several people we're praying for, people whose lives are in the balance, people who, are, as far as we know, are not saved, and they are within just moments of eternity. Hey, if you're here tonight and you're not sure, you do not know. You say, well, everybody thinks I am. If you're not sure, your voyage will be with hurt if you don't get saved. Crucial decision. Marriage is a key decision. Very important decision. How we run our homes, we make very important decisions. God's will for our lives, we make very important decisions. Christian living, how will I live? What am I going to do? Will I give my life to God, etc.? Those are very important decisions. I'll be honest with you, many, your voyage will be with hurt. Your voyage will be with hurt. I mean, there are so many things going on in people's lives. I'm thinking of a teenager right now. Your voyage will be with hurt. You say, well, I could be just about anybody. No. You know. You know some of the things you're thinking. You know some of the decisions you're wanting to make. Your voyage will be with hurt. College student, your voyage will be with hurt. And you just, I mean, honestly, I'm just telling you because I love you. I care about you. I don't want your voyage to be with hurt. I want your voyage to be with joy. I want your voyage to be with a blessing from God, not with hurt. Marry the wrong person, your voyage will be with hurt. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. There's no question about it. And the centurion here, Julius, he had God's counsel. He had it from God's man. But he wouldn't take it. You know, as we come to the many forks in the road, we have counsel. We have the Word of God. We have counselors. And boy, we need to take it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, thine own understanding is, well, the winds have been contrary and they've been blowing against us and we're late and we had to go south when we wanted to go north and we're just running late and we just have to, no. Listen, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I don't want anyone to take a voyage that they're going to be hurt on. I don't want anyone to take a voyage that there's going to be much damage on. Amen. And nobody should want that. Number one, the warning described. Number two, we see the wrong decision. And in verse 11, after the warning, after Paul gave this warning, and the Bible says Paul admonished them, I'm thinking he got right in his face and he told him, look, this is not a good idea here. This voyage will be hurt and much damage. Verse 11, nevertheless. Nevertheless, scary words. Words that I've heard as a pastor, words you've heard as a parent, words you've heard as a teacher, words you've heard as a bus captain. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, stories you could tell. Nevertheless, I told them they shouldn't do that. Nevertheless, I told them they should pray more about it. Nevertheless, I told them they should go see the preacher. Nevertheless, I told them they should talk to somebody. Nevertheless, and maybe they did talk to all those people. Nevertheless, they made the wrong decision. And here it is, very clearly. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The wrong decision. He would not listen. I wrote down just some things why I think he didn't listen. Number one was he was impatient. He didn't want to wait. You know, a lot of our decisions we make are because we're just not patient. We don't want to wait. And the Bible says much time was spent. He's impatient. Now, again, the winds were contrary. The winds blew. Nobody, I mean, obviously, was God in control or not? Who makes the wind blow? Paul knew that. Paul, you know, it's amazing. Well, I'm forced into this thing because the wind has blown contrary. No, you're not. God made the wind blow contrary. It's okay. God must have something else for you. God must have you going over to this other place and staying here at the Fair Havens in the city of Lycia, and maybe you're supposed to be there for a while. I mean, God knows when the winds blow contrary, doesn't He? God knows when things get held up. God knows when things aren't, what we might have planned. And, how many folks, well, you got to understand, I'm an old maid. I'm 24 years old. I got to marry this guy. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, what you have to do is you have to wait on God's will for your life. You need to wait on the right one. Don't be restless. Let the peace of God rule. Amen? And make sure of that. Don't be impatient. Let God open the doors. Let God lead you through the open doors. Amen? I've had people say, hey, bless God, I just waited on the door to open, and you had a sledgehammer. And you beat the door open. Door was locked. You busted a hole in it and went through it. You know, listen, there is a God in heaven. He really is there. He really does care about us, as Kendall just sang about. He really loves us. He really has a will for our lives. We need to trust Him. And we need to trust Him so that we don't become impatient. Again, I've testified many, many times. That's one of my biggest problems is I just get impatient. And God sent me down to Pensacola, Florida, if for no other reason, to sit and watch those trains go by. And back up. And go forward. And back up. I knew all the gang signs because they were on the sides of the boxcars. I'm just saying, don't make a decision because you're impatient. It will ruin your life. It'll cause damage. The voyage will be with hurt. Another reason I think he made this wrong decision was because he followed the wrong counsel. The Bible says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. This was an expert. By the way, let me just say this. The centurion wasn't a sailor. He's a centurion. He didn't know anything about the sea. He doesn't know anything about the weather. He doesn't know anything about any of these things. Now, certainly the master and the owner of the ship, he's an expert, but I've got news for you. When it comes to the sea and the weather, and when it comes to God's will, I don't know, I'd rather listen to Paul. Amen. It just seems to me like that would have been the best thing. You know, let me say this. You will always find someone to agree with your wrong decision. You always will. Guaranteed. I promise you, you can make up a wrong decision and go throughout our church and you'll find somebody that'll agree with it. You say, really? Oh yeah, always. Always. Just ask enough people, you'll get somebody on your side. Amen. I'm telling teenagers, it's very easy for a teenager to find somebody to go along with their wrong decision. Just find somebody that's backslidden. They don't care. I'm telling you, Paul cared. I mean, he cared for himself, but he cared for everybody. He said, this voyage will be with hurt. There's going to be hurt involved if we go forward. Always find somebody. You'll always find somebody to agree with you because they don't want to hurt your feelings. They'll just agree with you. Could be anything. You know, it could be any number of things. I mean, there's always somebody out there that will eventually agree with whatever you want to do. You know, probably Julius said to Paul, hey, you just stick to preaching and I'll take care of the sailing. You know, technically, Paul probably didn't know a whole lot about the winds and he didn't know, but he knew about wind blowing, didn't he? And he knew about being held up. And he knew about having to wait. And he knew God. And he knew that God was in control. And he perceived that this was not a good idea. In area of technical decisions, you know, it's good to get all kinds of counsel. But in a decision where there's a right and wrong way to go, I guarantee I'll find somebody that's walking with God. I will find somebody that is walking with God. And you should always include that in any counsel that you get. You should always include that in a decision you have to make. You should always include that. And it's absolutely important. You should counsel. If you have a decision of right or wrong, if you have a decision where your voyage might be with hurt, boy, I'll tell you, you ought to counsel with the preacher. You ought to counsel with a Sunday school teacher. You ought to counsel with somebody who's accountable to God for that. By the way, that is the preacher. So I said, I don't feel like I could talk to you. Have you tried? Because that's a key. Or is it more, well, I know what you'll say. Again, the centurion, obviously, he knew what Paul said too. And he didn't want to listen. Look, if you will, Ezekiel 33, verse 31. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. That means they go after what they want to do. And they come, they sit, they come, they hear, but they don't do it. They don't do it. You know, that's how I think about Julius here, and I think about a man who, this guy is, he's an intelligent man, and yet, you know, and he obviously respects Paul because of verse 3, but I just think he had his own agenda, and he didn't really care what Paul had to say. I'm telling you, this voyage will be with hurt. Some of you are headed for some hurt, big time hurt. And again, it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what Paul said. Hey, it doesn't have to be that way. Another reason I think Julius made that decision was because of his own discomfort. Verse 12, because the haven was not commodious to winter in. In other words, he's in an area that, well, it's just not going to be that much fun. It's not going to be that pleasant. How many times do we make wrong decisions because it's not going to be that much fun? You know, it's not as comfortable as somewhere else. I got news for you. God's will is always more important than our comfort. God's will in your life is more important than your comfort. It always is going to be. Always. Never fails. Problem is, we're spoiled, really. I mean, how many folks are supposed to be missionaries, but it wasn't comfortable? I don't know about in here. I just know there are many people. This isn't comfortable to me. I wonder what would happen if we took the air conditioning away. It almost was. Well, some of you would be thrilled. Joyce would rejoice. Rejoice. Get it? And if we took away the padded pews, I wonder what would happen then. Ow. Many young people avoid going to Bible college or going to college just because, well, it's not comfortable. Mommy's not there. I'm so proud of our young people. They go off to college. It's tough. It's tough on them. And it's going to be tough. And you ought to pray for them. And you ought to pray faithfully for them. It's not that easy, but again, they need to go. If that's God's will, that's what they need to do. They need to go there. They need to be what God wants them to be and make that decision. Don't make your decision because it's uncomfortable. Don't make your bad decision because, again, working in a bus ministry, well, I'd have to get up early. And yes, you would. And it's cold on the bus. Yes, or it's hot. Typically, it's one or the other. Not a lot of in-between there. And you know, God's will often will bring discomfort. But that's all right. Do you want to be in God's will? Do you want to be in God's will? This voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Then another reason I think he decided this was, I call it the old bandwagon, you know, the majority. Verse 12, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. The more part, the majority. Hey, everybody else is doing it. Why don't... Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of folks that were in the minority that things worked out real well. Talk about Noah. Talk about Daniel. Talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the list goes on in the Bible. In fact, God's people, pretty much most of the time, they're in the minority. Amen. You know, I mean, Mount Carmel, the false prophets, huh? See, we just need to do right. We need to make the right decision. Forget what the majority says. Amen. Quit worrying about the majority. Quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. And then the last reason I think he made the wrong decision is because it felt and looked good right now. And that gets us in more trouble than anything else in our lives. It gets us in so much trouble. Verse 13, when the south wind blew softly. That gets us in so much trouble, doesn't it? I can almost see Julius look at Paul. See? It's all right. See? Everything's good. See? Look at that south wind blowing. Perfect. We haven't had wind like this since the beginning of our voyage. Isn't this wonderful? We're going to have a great trip. It looked good now. Boy, I'll tell you, when Esau came in from hunting, Jacob's vegetable soup smelled good, didn't it? He really was hungry. And in fact, he was so hungry, he thought he was going to die. I mean, he was so hungry. He could not wait. And he sold his birthright because it felt good now. It felt so good now. Boy, I'm starving. Birthright's worthless. My Bible says afterwards he repented in tears. It was too late. There was already much hurt. The fruit looked pretty good to Eve, right? A time of lust, couples alone. Boy, it looks good, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. Right now, yeah, it sure seems that way. It doesn't look good after that young lady had an abortion, though. Boy, the counseling I've done for people that have had abortions, you just cannot imagine. It's amazing the media never talks about that. or counseling somebody who has AIDS, or somebody who just delivered a baby that has AIDS. Yeah, you know, these are tough things. People marry wrong because oh, she's so pretty. Yeah, it just looks good right now. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of things look good now. I've seen it where somebody says, well, you know, they have a better job and they move. And the first thing I say is, really, is there a church where you're moving to? Well, no, but we'll figure that out. Yeah, and a few months later, they don't even care about church. And their lives are a mess. Remember a fella, he had a license to drive a truck, and he got a job as a delivery man, delivering beer. I said, man, you can't do that. He said, I'll be all right. He said, I love God. It'll be okay. And again, it looked good. Boy, the good paycheck coming in. It looked real good. But he quit church. He lost his family, lost their kids, and their lives are a wreck today. I'm thinking of a fellow who decided, I'm going to get a job, and my job, I'm going to be a bouncer at a strip joint. He said, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. You know, no big deal. I can handle this thing. Let me tell you something. You know, you're making decisions because it may look good now. You're going to get lots of money. You may get paid a whole bunch. But I guarantee you, that fella told me later on, it was not worth it. And I told him, I said, don't do that. Don't do that thing. But you know what? The south wind blew softly. And it happens, and it's happening in people's lives all the time because it looks so good. And how many times have we seen the south wind blow softly and pretty soon we see the clouds rolling in from the west and there's storm clouds and that soft wind becomes a roaring Euroclodon in our lives. You know, in my mind, I imagine Julius, you know, they're waving to everybody on shore. Goodbye, goodbye, everybody. Smiling, they're so happy. Maybe there's ticker tape, you know, and oh, everybody's having a good time. But it isn't long. And Euroclodon. And there's lots of hurt. Do you know you could stop so much of your hurt if you just make the right decisions? You could stop so much of your hurt, so much of the pain, so much of the damage if you just make the right decision. Number two is the wrong decision. Number three is the wasteful destruction as a result of not listening. Verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. And I got news for you. Out there in the sea, that is as dangerous of a place as you can be when Euroclodon comes upon you. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, verse 15, when the ship was caught, could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And guess what? Now, it's out of control. And you know, you can argue all you want, and I guarantee there's some, you know, with the eyes rolled, and maybe I can't see it, but I promise you, it's just a matter of time. It won't be long, and verse 15 will be so true. We let her drive. What's that mean? Totally out of their control. It's not in their hands anymore. It's no longer, they don't have any options anymore. Hey, Julius, let's turn around. Can't turn around now. Hey, let's go to shore. Can't go to shore now. We're caught. Why? Because we made a wrong decision, that's why. And pretty soon it becomes, it's no longer your decision. By the way, typically, that's when people knock on my door. I'm serious. I don't know how many times. I'm thinking of a fellow years ago back in Bern, Indiana, and he made a terrible decision with his wife and his family. And I talked to him. I said, do not do this. And I counseled him, and I can still see him the night he came and told me that his wife was leaving him. And he wrapped his arms around me and he sobbed like a little baby and laid his head on my shoulder. And there was nothing he could do then. nothing. Nothing he could do. Totally out of control because of a wrong decision. But watch what else happens, and it and exactly what Paul said, running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. Verse 19, the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And all of a sudden, now the things that seemed so valuable, all that cargo, it's not so valuable anymore. And now it's all getting thrown out in the sea. It's amazing. Amazing when your life is out of control. When your life is spinning. And you're caught in the tornado. You're caught in your rocklodon. And your life is, I mean, you know that damage is taking place. You know hurt is taking place. All of a sudden, those things that you thought were so important. Well, I want to be popular. Well, I got to be with this guy. Well, I got to be with this girl. Well, I want to feel good. That's not so important anymore. All of a sudden, the valuables don't really matter. In verse 20, the Bible says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared," what's that mean? That means clouds everywhere. "And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away, and there was no hope." You ever been there? Because of a wrong decision. Again, I'm not talking about Job. I'm not talking about you're doing right and God is allowing a trial. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about you made a wrong decision. I'm talking about when it gets so bad, it seems absolutely hopeless. But verse 21 says, "After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss.'" What are you talking about? All the cargo's gone. The ship's breaking apart. There's already loss. There's already damage. And I promise you this, in a wrong decision, there's always damage. There is always going to be damage. But thank God. Thank God. Paul said, "You should have listened." And he says, verse 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." And they start to look to God. Many times, that happens in my office. That happens in a staff member's office. It happens with parents. You know, I've reached the bottom. Isn't that something? We have to reach the bottom before we'll look to God. And again, you say, "Well, praise the Lord. They at least say, yeah." But look at all the hurt that did not have to happen. How much loss, how much sorrow, how much pain. Why not listen now? Wasteful destruction. The Bible says later on in verse 29, "Fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Boy, that is such a powerful "wished for the day." If it just were daylight. "Wish for the day. As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.'" Why? Because the ship is going to be destroyed. You say, "Well, they shouldn't stay." Well, just watch. The ship is about to be destroyed. Wasteful destruction. The ship is going to be totally destroyed. Bible says in verse 44, just kind of get ahead here, "The rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship." It's pretty much what was left. Verse 41, "The hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." The ship was busted up. Wasteful destruction. "Well, I came out of that all right." Yeah, you just don't have a ship. Came out of that all right. Yeah, all the valuables are down at the bottom of the sea. Came out of that all right. Yeah, you lost a lot of time. Came out of that. Yeah, listen, when we make wrong decisions, we may come out of it. Praise God. And you can come out of it. But there's always damage. There's always hurt. Always. And that brings me to the last thing. Number one, I said the warning described. Number two, the wrong decision. Number three, we see the wasteful destruction. And number four, we see the wonderful deliverance. Verse 44, it says, the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Every one of them made it safely with their lives. Praise the Lord. And I say all that because everybody in this room has made some wrong decisions. You may be sitting here right now and you're in that tempest. Or maybe you're the one that just swam to shore and you're holding on to a broken piece of some part of your life that is all you have left. And I can tell you this. God will use those broken pieces. And maybe you messed up and there's broken pieces all around you. But God loves you. Praise the Lord. God loves you. And here we have the fact they all escaped. And I close with this, the wonderful deliverance. But I'm going to tell you how they all escaped. And it was the result of finally listening to the man of God. What do you mean? Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. They all wanted to take off on the lifeboats and maybe try to swim and I mean they were coming up with all kinds of ideas fleeing out of the ship and he said okay if you do you'll die, period. Now again, is this a master of the sea? No, it's a man of God. Is this a guy that knows about the lifeboat and understands all? No, but he's the man of God. And he met with God, and God told him, I'll spare every life, but here's what you do. And this time they listen. This time, verse 32, the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, and they let her fall off. And I love what Paul does. Verse 33, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Are you listening? 14 days they were in this tempest. That's hard to even imagine, folks. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. By the way, that's one of the reasons why I'll never be a vegetarian. For there shall not an hair, that's the only part that I never have understood, because I eat lots of meat. There shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Thank you for at least smiling. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all, watch this, of good cheer. The ship is breaking up. I mean, it's not a good scenario, but now they're all of good cheer. Why? They listened to the man of God. And they trusted. They knew, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. He was right. Let me skip some things. Verse 42, the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. See that? Okay, Julius, here you go again. Let's see if you've learned anything, Julius. All right? The soldiers' council, so all the soldiers got together and told Julius, hey, we need to kill all the prisoners. These are dangerous people. We need to kill them. They should not be allowed to go. Soldiers' council was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And you know, Julius finally listened to the right counsel. He listened to the right counsel when Paul said, stay on the ship. He listened to the right counsel when the soldiers counseled him to kill the prisoners. And he's finally listening. You know, honestly, it's sad that it would take that. The ship's destroyed. everything's gone. It's sad that it would take that. It's sad that often it takes wasteful destruction of time, wasteful destruction of our means, our resources, wasteful destruction of our testimony. You name it. I mean, when we make a wrong decision, we're wasting something that God's given to us. Because there will be destruction. And just so that we'll finally listen. And you know, you're here tonight, you've already made that wrong decision. And you're already in that tempest, and you're already, things are bad. And maybe you're here and you're just kind of floating, holding on to those broken pieces. God will deliver you. Praise God. He will. You need to trust Him. Trust Him with everything you do. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. This voyage will be with much hurt. Some of you are sailing into some hurt. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart tonight. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. God's speaking to my heart. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Father, I do pray that you will bless our invitation, that your will be done in our hearts and our lives. Oh, Father, I pray for that young person about to make a very, very bad decision. Lord, I pray for others' decisions. The winds have been contrary. And they don't see in the wind. Please, 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 God, help us. Help me to make right decisions, I pray in Jesus' name.